Every day I read something from a term you will hear me use over and over again in the days to come. The term is the Greek chorus. These are individuals who are standing outside the play giving critique as it unfolds. One book recommended by the Greek chorus a few months ago was Fooled by Randomness. The book is written by an options trader on Wall Street named Nassim Taleb. And even though Mr. Taleb has almost an obsession with mathematical models, the book has a wealth of information on human nature. This comment by the Greek philosopher Solon captures the spirit of the book. Solon was wise enough to get the following point: that which came with the help of luck could be taken away by luck, and often rapidly and unexpectedly at that. The flip side, which deserves to be considered as well, in fact, it is even more of our concern, is that things which come with little help from luck are more resistant to randomness. Solon even understood another linked problem, which I call the skewedness issue. It does not matter how frequently something succeeds if failure is too costly to bear. I would like to give you a few glimpses into Taleb's keen insight in differentiating luck versus skill. One great view into the trading world comes early in the book as you read about Nero, a very skillful trader who was extremely concerned about risk, and John, who followed the business model of maximizing profits. However, the most fascinating thing I found is how much these two men look like men and women everywhere. Consider the following description of Nero and John. A Puebloan man could have seen that John had been doing markedly better than Nero, or at least felt compelled to show it. He parked two top-of-the-line German cars in his driveway, his and hers, in addition to two convertibles, one of which was a collectible Ferrari, while Nero had been driving the same VW Cabriolet for almost a decade, and still did. The wives of John and Nero were acquaintances of the health club type of acquaintance, but Nero's wife felt extremely uncomfortable in the company of John's. She felt that the lady was not merely trying to impress her, but was treating her like someone inferior. While Nero became inured to the sight of traders getting rich, it was hard for his spouse to be exposed almost daily to the neighbor who kept boasting of the new decorator they had just hired. John and his wife were not the least uncomfortable with the fact that their library came with leather-bound books. Her readings at the health club, of course, were limited to People magazine, but her shelves included a selection of untouched books by dead American authors. Somehow, words and reason became ineffectual in front of an oversized diamond, a monstrous house, and a sports car collection. I would like to give you a few lessons I learned from the book. Alternative history. If we compare an investment strategy by lumping everything as an average, this is not being intellectually honest. Any money management system should take different cycles and see how it performed not just in the markets that it just went through, but other cycles it may have never journeyed live. This is a much better way of assessing risk than to look at the average return. As an illustration, Taleb uses an emerging markets bond manager named Carlos, who entered the markets at a time when his theory worked, but never tested for periods when the markets did the opposite of, quote, sound economic analysis. The cross-sectional problem. At any time, the richest traders are often the worst traders. At a given time in the markets, the most profitable traders are likely to be those who are the best fit for the latest cycle. Justification. Speaking of the bond trader Carlos again, he states, he felt justified to show that, quote, he fared well relative to the industry, unquote. This is a symptom of systemic troubles. It shows that there was an entire community of traders who were conducting the exact same activity. Such statements that other traders had also gotten into trouble are self-incriminating. A trader's mental construction should direct him to do precisely what other people do not do. Buying on dips. Buying on dips in a collapsing market may not buy you a recovery. Carlos started buying Russian bonds at a price of $52 in 1998, but by October of that year, after the Russian bond market had collapsed, the additional purchases earlier at $43 and $30 had not paid off. While declining, he was overheard saying, "Stop losses are for schmucks. I am not going to buy high and sell low." When the market price hit $10, Carlos was dismissed, as was the head of his trading firm. My final lesson is the one described in the book as the black swan problem. Consider the following. I give you the assignment of going to a lake and observing the type of swans and the number that land on a lake over a 52-week period. At the end of 52 weeks, you have observed only white swans for a total of 4,000. No swan is black because I have looked at over 4,000 swans and have found none. However, if this was your conclusion and the next week we have one black swan land on the lake, now would not the correct conclusion be, not all swans who land on the lake are white? Another example that he uses in the book is as follows. I have just completed a thorough statistical examination of the life of President George Bush. For 59 years, I have examined over 16,000 times his life, and not once did he die. I can hence pronounce him as immortal with a high degree of statistical significance. So often our fast food investment culture that pounds us with noise daily keeps us from really learning what is skill. In fact, since it requires a lot of learning, you must constantly go against buying the, quote, emotional good feeling, unquote, that is so often being sold in the money game.